Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, October 8th, 2018. Coming up this hour,
stocks around the world fall with Chinese equities leading declines.
The yuan weakens after China's central bank loosens monetary policy.
And assets in Brazil are set to rally after round one of that country's presidential election.
President Trump says he hopes to see North Korea's Kim Jong-un after a visit from Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, plus more on a horrific limo crash. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower, and sports, a heartbreaking loss for the Giants at Carolina. The Jets beat Denver, the Rangers lost, and the Yankees and Red Sox have their big Game 3 tonight.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak is being brought to you by the accounting and advisory firm Eisner Amper. Are you experiencing tax turbulence like most businesses? For a tax diagnostic and to connect to resources you need, visit EisnerAmper.com/tax turbulence.
Stocks around the world are lower as we begin a new trading week. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 11 points this morning. Dow futures down 113. NASDAQ futures down 47. The DAX in Germany is down 0.9%. So is the CAC in Paris. And the FTSE 100 is down 0.5%. No trading in Japan today. And the U.S. bond market is closed today for the holiday. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.2% or 90 cents to $73.44 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.6% or $7.50 to $11.98.10 an ounce. The euro, $1.14.76, and the yen 113.30. John.
And we begin in Asia, where Chinese stocks plummeted after returning from a week-long holiday. And Bloomberg's Juliet Sally is in Singapore with the latest. Juliet, good morning.
Good morning, John and Karen. The CSI 300 plunged by 4.3% to close at 3,290 points, its biggest one-day drop since February 2016. Bloomberg data show foreigners sold $1.4 billion worth of Chinese stocks through the Shenzhen and Hong Kong links today, while the sentiment saw markets from Sydney to Hong Kong also sold off. Monday's sell-off in mainland Chinese equities was the worst start to the month of October following the Golden Week break since 2008. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. China's currency is weaker after the central bank cut the amount of cash lenders must hold as reserves. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis reports from Hong Kong.
It's the fourth triple R cut this year by the PBOC. Stocks still tanked, but it could have been worse. Policymakers are trying to shore up the slowing economy in the midst of the trade war with the United States. The full percentage point cut will release $175 billion. Now, the PBOC maintains this is prudent, neutral monetary policy and won't put downward pressure on the currency. It will substitute for existing instruments, and the remaining money will offset tax payment pressures in October. Still, some like Pantheon Macroeconomics say we find this hard to swallow. In Hong Kong, I'm Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Brian. The onshore yuan is weakening this morning to catch up with last week's drop in the offshore market. David Finnerty covers markets for Bloomberg.
The PBOC did its fixing slightly stronger than market expected. So we knew that the yuan would open weaker because it was playing catch up. But I think the fact that the fixing was slightly stronger than market expected is a signal saying that it could be a slow grind towards 7.0 for dollar yuan.
And right now, the Chinese currency is trading at 6.92 per dollar.
In Brazil, stocks, bonds, and the real could rally today after the candidate favored by investors led the first round of Brazil's presidential election. Bloomberg's Julia Leite reports from Sao Paulo.
Far-right candidate Jair Bolsonaro came in with about 46% of the vote compared to his closest opponent, Fernando Haddad, who came in at 29. Bolsonaro performed better than polls had expected, but still did not have the outright majority to win this in the first round. So both of the candidates will now go into a runoff on October 28th. Brazilian assets are expected to continue their rally on Monday, not only on Bolsonaro's strong showing, but also on the impression that Congress swung a bit to the right as well. And that might make it easier for Bolsonaro to pass some of the reforms that are included in his economic agenda, including pension reform and other things that investors see as needed for Brazil to fix its fiscal accounts. Julia Leite, São Paulo, Bloomberg.
And here in the U.S., Treasury yields, they remain in focus despite cash trading being closed for Columbus Day. Traders are pricing in another rate hike for the Federal Reserve this year. But St. Louis Fed President James Bullard says he doesn't think the central bank needs to move much higher.
We're at a good level of rates today for our environment today. We don't have to be projecting planned rate hikes at this point. We can react to data as it comes in. We can feel our way and see where we want to go. But I don't think it's a situation where we need to get a lot higher with the policy rate in order to contain inflation, because there just isn't that much inflation pressure.
Bullard is not a voting member of the FOMC this year, but will vote on policy next year.
And we won't have to wait long for the next reading on U.S. inflation. We get data on producer prices Wednesday and consumer prices Thursday. Economists forecast gains of 0.2% for both ratings.
In Germany, industrial output unexpectedly fell for a third month. Output slowed 0.3% in August. The median estimate called for a gain of 0.3%. Capital goods and construction led declines. Global trade tensions are placing a strain on German manufacturers.
Italian bonds are falling as the government sticks to its position on next year's controversial budget. Italy's coalition leaders are shrugging off attacks on their fiscal plan, which has 1 week to go before proposals are due to the European Commission.
And South Africa's currency is weakening after word that the country's finance minister has offered to resign. The news comes just days before Moody's Investor Service assesses South Africa's credit rating and just 2 weeks before a crucial midterm budget statement.
The 17th successful mission this year for SpaceX is in the books.
Mission, liftoff.
Elon Musk's rocket company launched a commercial satellite for Argentina last night. The rocket's first stage returned and landed at a California Air Force base about 8 minutes after launch. That's the first time a SpaceX rocket's first stage returned safely to Earth. Futures this morning are falling, and straight ahead we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
And thanks, Karen. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. Time now to get news from around the world. And we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Good morning, John. President Donald Trump says he hopes to see North Korean leader Kim Jong-un in the near future after Secretary of State Mike Pompeo reported progress at a meeting with Kim in Pyongyang. Bloomberg's Mark Mills reports.
The State Department said Pompeo and Kim refined options for the location and date of a second summit between President Trump and the North Korean leader. They agreed to instruct their respective working-level teams to meet soon to intensify discussions on the key remaining issues. Secretary of State Pompeo told South Korean President Moon Jae-in upon his arrival in Seoul that Kim had agreed to meet with Trump as soon as possible, according to a statement from Moon's office. Yesterday, President Trump tweeted that Pompeo had a good meeting with Chairman Kim today in Pyongyang, and I look forward to seeing Chairman Kim again in the near future. Mark Mills, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Meanwhile, Secretary Pompeo cited a fundamental disagreement with China's foreign minister during a testy exchange in Beijing that highlighted rising tensions between the world's two largest economies. Pompeo's retort came after China's foreign minister accused the U.S. today of escalating trade disputes. The investigation continues into a deadly limousine crash over the weekend in upstate New York. All 18 people in the limo were killed, along with two pedestrians in Schoharie, about 40 miles from Albany. The limo, carrying several couples to a birthday party, failed to stop at an intersection before the crash. NTSB Chairman Robert Sumwalt says his investigators will be at the site for several days.
We look at the vehicle factors, we look at the roadway, we look at survival factors, we look at the condition of the drivers, the licensing of the drivers, we look at the operator itself, the company.
It's the deadliest transportation accident in the U.S. since 2009. Florida Governor Rick Scott has declared a state of emergency in 26 counties across the Florida Panhandle as the state continues to prepare for a probable hurricane to hit at midweek.
Today is the time to get a plan. Do not put it off. There isn't any reason not to be prepared to keep your family safe.
Tropical Storm Michael is forecast to become a Category 2 hurricane when it hits the Florida Panhandle.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 5:10 on Wall Street, it's time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Report, being brought to you by Investors Bank. And good morning, John Stashower.
John, a year ago, the Giants lost a game in Philadelphia on a 60-yard field goal at the end. Yesterday in Charlotte, it was a 63-yarder by Graham Gano. There had not been a game-winning 63-yard field goal in the NFL since Tom Dempsey in 1970. The Panthers won a wild one, 33-31, so the Giants score 30 points for the first time in 38 games and still lose. Eli Manning, two touchdown passes to Odell Beckham and a late one to Saquon Barkley. Beckham threw a 57-yarder to Barkley. Before the game, there was a pregame interview with Beckham where he criticized Manning and his new coach, Pat Shurmur, who was asked about it after the game.
All right, listen, I'm going to answer all the drama questions right now. And I'm going to go back to what I said, all right? I addressed it with Odell. I addressed it with our team. I publicly declared that I didn't agree with his comments. And I asked anybody that was interested, if they wanted clarification, go to Odell, because he's a big man.
Shurmur's Giants are 1-4. The Jets are 2-3. Their first win since the opener was a rout of Denver, 34-16, with a huge rushing attack that included a club record 219 yards from Isaiah Crowell. Jets in the second quarter had TDs of 77 and 76 yards, 3 minutes apart. Yankees and Red Sox, having split two in Boston, have their big game three tonight in the Bronx. Luis Severino looked good in last week's wild card game. He opposes the ex-Yank, Nathan Eovaldi. Last night, Braves stayed alive after blowing a 5-0 lead. Freddie Freeman homered sixth inning for a 6-5 win over the Dodgers, who are still up 2-1. The Brewers completed a sweep of the Rockies for the second straight shutout, 6-0. The Rangers are 0-3. They lost 8-5 at Carolina. With a Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John.
All right, thanks, John. And after this weekend's win against the Red Sox, Yankee slugger Aaron Judge left of the Fenway faithful with a little Frank Sinatra on his way out of town. Judge walked past Fenway Park early Sunday with New York, New York blaring from a boombox atop his luggage. The Yankees and Boston face off again tonight in the Bronx. S&P futures right now 10 points lower. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And the sports report was brought to you by Investors Bank. Business wins here. Connect your team with the experts at Investors Bank for business solutions to move your business forward. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Bloomberg. Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are falling across Europe and Asia, and U.S. stock index futures retreating as Treasury traders take a holiday break before a busy week of U.S. government debt sales. Shares in China leading declines, and the yuan weakened as investors assessed efforts by the nation's central bank to loosen monetary policy. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 9 points, Dow futures down 97, NASDAQ futures down 39. The DAX in Germany is down 0.7%. Again, no trading for the U.S. bond market. It's closed for the holiday. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.1% or 80 cents to $73.54 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.6% or $7.10 to $11.98.50 an ounce. The euro at $1.1481 and the yen at 113.35. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. President Donald Trump says he hopes to see North Korean leader Kim Jong-un in the near future. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says there was progress after a meeting with Kim in Pyongyang about a potential second summit. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell insists the Senate is not broken following the heated confirmation process for newly confirmed Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. McConnell does call the current partisan divide a low point, but he blames it on the Democrats. In sports, in baseball, the Yankees host the Red Sox as their American League Division Series is tied at a game apiece. In the NFL, the Giants lost a heartbreaker to the Panthers, 33-31. The Jets rolled over the Broncos, 34-16. The Ravens, Raiders, and 49ers all lost. The Redskins play the Saints tonight. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
My heart was broken.
I can tell.
5:20 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. And we're joined now by our first guest this morning, John Golub, Chief U.S. Equity Strategist for Credit Suisse. John, thanks for being with us this morning. Did the stock market get blindsided by yields? Hey, John, you there? John Golub? All right, we'll take a little break here and try to reestablish with our guest this morning. S&P futures ahead of the market opened 9 points lower right now. That's down about 0.3%. The Dow futures, 98 points lower right now. That's down 0.4%. And the NASDAQ E-mini futures right now, 40 points lower. That is down 0.5%. And the cash market close for the bond market, we last left the yields off at 3.23 for the benchmark 10-year yield. We have dollar strength across the board, except the exception is the yen. That is up about 0.3% against the U.S. dollar this morning. And reestablishing contact with John Golub. John, yields higher, stocks sell off. Back to my question, did the stock market get blindsided by the yields and the treasuries?
Yeah, you know, John, I don't think that the market minds interest rates being higher, but it doesn't like when it jumps very quickly. And that's what you had. So I don't think interest rates are a problem. But to your question, did it get blindsided by how quickly they popped back above 3%? Maybe a little bit, but I don't think it's a problem going forward.
Maybe it's good for financials, right, with net interest margins. Can you make the case for financials at this part?
Well, first of all, yeah, I think you can, and the most important thing for banks, and this is really a simple thing, is the economy is good, and when the economy is good, people pay back their loans, and that's the most important thing to banks. But as far as the interest rates being some kind of disruption or problem, which everyone's trying to make a story of, I think it's probably misplaced. And mind you, when we're looking at the market selling off a little bit, a little bit more than 1% off of all-time highs. So it's hard to say that the market really is having any kind of indigestion.
Okay, at the end of the day, I guess it's all about economic performance and earnings, and on that front, things look pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, this quarter, again, corporate profits will be up more than 20%. And, you know, China, as you know, a big chunk of that is the benefit of the Trump tax cuts. But even if you strip that away, you're going to have a double-digit earnings growth rate, which, you know, for your listeners, I mean, that's an extraordinary number, especially given that we're in year 9 of this economic cycle. You should be seeing something normally much weaker. So this should really fuel things forward.
Okay. Is there anything specifically you like? We did talk about financials there for a moment, but what else in terms of what might look like it's a place to go with value?
Yeah, you know, we really like this technology story, and I think that there's a growing concern that, you know, how much more can these FANG stocks or these technology stocks run up. But the underlying issue isn't that investors are getting euphoric about these names, but rather how powerful their underlying businesses are. And if you look at the underlying revenues of these companies, and whether it's people who are making telephone handsets, or people who are selling online advertising, or people who are involved in cloud computing, or there's a variety of these different stories, but this whole suite of technology companies, we think, are going to continue to outperform the market.
Why is that?
Well, I mean, there's a couple of things. I mean, the most important issue is what we would call addressable market, which is how big can this story get? And I'll give you a perfect example. Right now, Amazon sales are about 1/3 of the sales of Walmart. What do we think that that's going to be, not tomorrow, but in 5 or 7 years from now? And I would think that Amazon probably at some point eclipses Walmart sales. You can look at cloud computing. Just think about all of the pictures that all of us have on our telephones. Those aren't going to be stored on our telephones. They're going to be stored on some type of an internet account. We're going to pay a monthly fee for those things. And those businesses, online advertising. I mean, we're going to be receiving more of our advertising focused more directly at us personally, one way or another online. And that just means that the size of these have upside.
John Golub, Managing Director, Chief U.S. Equity Strategist at Credit Suisse, continuing to make the bull case. And Bloomberg Daybreak being brought to you by National Realty, developers of prime New York, Hoboken, Philadelphia, and Delray Beach real estate. Up to 20% return properties. See them at nria.net.
Broadcasting live from the Interactive Broker Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130
to Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991
to Boston.
Bloomberg 1061
to San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960
to the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119
and around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It is 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak is being brought to you by BNY Mellon's Pershing. Learn why the world's most sophisticated advisory firms and broker-dealers rely on Pershing to help them improve profitability, create efficiency, attract talent, and manage risk at Pershing.com.
We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks around the world are lower as we begin a new trading week. Chinese shares were the hardest hit, falling more than 4%. At the same time, China's central bank cut the amount of cash lenders must hold as reserves. Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie reports from Beijing.
A reserve ratio cut for China's banks, the fourth this year, did little to dispel the gloom hanging over Chinese stocks. The move will free up $175 billion of liquidity. It's been seen by economists as further evidence of a shift by policymakers here towards an easing bias in the face of an economic slowdown and a trade war with Washington. Tom McKenzie, Bloomberg, Beijing.
All right, thanks, Tom. And U.S. stock futures also falling after the worst week in a month for American equities and a rout in treasuries. The bond market is closed today for the Columbus Day holiday.
This week's economic calendar will be highlighted by reports on inflation. We get more from Bloomberg's Vinnie Dalgiudice.
Look for data on producer, consumer, and import prices. Fed officials raised interest rates last month and signaled they'll tighten again before the end of 2018 to keep inflation in check. A major issue, the impact of White House tariffs on business and consumer costs. Vinnie Dalgiudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Vinnie. And Italy's bonds are continuing their sell-off today as the government refuses to bow to criticism over its budget.
South Africa's rand is weakening on reports the finance minister sought to resign.
And Daimler Chrysler financial officer Bodo Uber will leave the automaker, marking the first top-level departure after the German manufacturer picked Ola Kalanis to take over as chief executive officer next year.
Airbus reportedly will designate commercial aircraft chief Guillaume Ferré to be the next CEO. French media says the company's board will meet today to make it official.
And Schroders confirms that it is in talks with Lloyds Banking Group about collaborating in the wealth management sector.
Futures this morning are lower. S&P futures down 8 points. Dow futures down 95. NASDAQ futures down 35. The DAX in Germany is down 0.7%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.3% or 95 cents to $73.39 a barrel. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. 5:33 on Wall Street. And let's get news from around the world this morning. We say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you, John. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo wrapped up his fourth trip to Pyongyang, spending just hours on the ground, meeting with Kim Jong-un about denuclearizing the country. Bloomberg's Peter Pei has more from Seoul.
U.S. officials said the visit went better than Pompeo's previous trip, but conceded there was a long haul ahead. Meanwhile, North Korea state media said Kim was satisfied with the productive and wonderful talks, which included discussing options for location and date for a second meeting between President Donald Trump and Kim this year. In Seoul, Peter Pei, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Republican colleagues of Senator Susan Collins of Maine are applauding her key vote to support Justice Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation to the Supreme Court. Collins on CNN's State of the Union says she found testimony from Kavanaugh's accuser, Christine Blasey Ford, to be heart-wrenching, but
I do not believe that Brett Kavanaugh was her assailant. So I do believe that she was assaulted. I don't know by whom, and I'm not certain when.
Meanwhile, Democratic Senator Mazie Hirono of Hawaii has a different view of Kavanaugh.
He's going to be on the Supreme Court with a huge taint and a big asterisk after his name.
Hirono spoke on ABC's This Week, which can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. Tropical storm Michael, with 60-mile-an-hour winds, is turning toward the U.S. Gulf Coast. Florida Governor Rick Scott declared a state of emergency in 26 counties ahead of the storm's possible landfall. In Indonesia, the confirmed death toll from the devastating earthquake and tsunami is close to 2,000. Thousands more remain unaccounted for. In Brazil, stocks, bonds, and the country's currency could rally today after the candidate favored by investors led the first round of the presidential election. Bloomberg's Bruce Douglas reports from Brazil.
Jair Bolsonaro, a far-right former army captain, stormed to a huge lead in the first round of Brazil's presidential elections on Sunday. The result puts the seven-time congressman, who glorifies Brazil's period of military rule, on track for victory in the second round on October 28th. Then he will face leftist Workers' Party candidate Fernando Haddad. In Brasilia, Bruce Douglas, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 5:36 on Wall Street, time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Report, being brought to you by Investors Bank. And here's John Stashower.
John, the Giants hadn't scored 30 points in a game since 2015, but when Eli Manning threw a touchdown pass to Saquon Barkley with just over a minute to play, they took their first lead, 31-30 at Carolina. But the game was not over.
From 63 yards away, wow, Graham Gano to win the game. 6 seconds left. Snap. Spot. Gano's kick is long. It's end over end, and this kick is
Panthers radio, the call of the first NFL game to end with a field goal that long since 1970. The Panthers won 33-31. Manning threw not only the TD pass to Barkley, but a long one to Odell Beckham, and Beckham threw an even longer one to Barkley, but Manning intercepted twice on consecutive second-half throws. The Giants are 1-4. The day began with Beckham making disparaging comments about Manning and coach Pat Shurmur.
I don't regret anything that I said. If it took that for us to come together as a team like we did today, I could take that every single time.
Better day for the Jets. A 34-16 rout of Denver with Isaiah Crowell setting a Jets record with 219 rushing yards last night. Houston beat Dallas in overtime. Yankees and Red Sox, game 3 tonight in the Bronx. Luis Severino against the ex-Yank Nathan Eovaldi. Yanks in the last two seasons, 7-0 at home in the postseason. The Braves back home beat the Dodgers 6-5. Ronald Acuna, a grand slam, and Freddie Freeman snapped a tie with a sixth-inning homer. The series now 2-1 L.A. The winner of the series plays Milwaukee in the NLCS. Brewers with back-to-back shutouts yesterday, 6-0 to Colorado to finish the sweep of the Rockies. The Rangers lost 8-5 at Carolina. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John.
All right, John, thanks a lot. 5:37 on Wall Street. And the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now, with the cover on how China used a tiny computer chip to hack American companies. Also in this week's issue, inside the new trade agreement to replace NAFTA, Christina Lindblad wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
I call it the most obvious manifestation of America First because it's now called the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Agreement.
And you can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. Also, listen to Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio. And it is 5:38 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report. And let's check in with Bloomberg's Ed Khoury. Good morning, Ed.
Hey, John. Morgan Stanley is remodeling its offices, part of an effort to put technology experts closer to the brokers, traders, and bankers. Open floor plans have already given more employees views of the Statue of Liberty in Hudson River, a perk previously reserved for senior executives. Connecticut's push to create new collaborative high-tech work and educational spaces seems to be growing. In November, Glastonbury voters will decide whether or not to move forward with an expansion of the Wells Turner Memorial Library. It would include a 1,500-square-foot makerspace area. Well, the gavel comes down this week on treasures found in a New Jersey storage locker. New York Post says two paintings, thought to be by famed artist Willem de Kooning and one by modernist master Paul Klee. Gallery owner David Killen hopes his finds, part of 200 works he bought on a hunch last year for $15,000, will fetch millions. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. John?
All right, thanks, Ed. 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WCCO in Minneapolis, I'm reporting that Target is going after the dollar chain customers with a new line of budget toiletries.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. Ford has told its 70,000 salaried employees that they will face unspecified job cuts.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're following a jump in French Connection shares as the UK retailer says it could be sold.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on WJFK 106.7 The Fan in Washington, D.C., I'm talking about incentives for federal contractors to hire and retain disabled workers.
I'm Andrew O'Day on 1010 Winds in New York. I'm reporting on Citibank's fine by the Irish Central Bank after admitting it breached lending practices.
And those are just some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. This on a day when U.S. equity futures pointing to a lower open on Wall Street. S&P futures right now down 7 points. The Dow futures 85 points lower. The Nasdaq E-mini futures down 34 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And still ahead, join us for our global roundtable, what you need to know to start your week. We'll check in with Joe Weisenthal in New York, M. O'Brien in Beijing, and David Merritt in London. This is Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are falling across Europe and Asia, and U.S. stock index futures retreating as Treasury traders take a holiday break before a busy week of U.S. government debt sales. Shares in China led declines in the yuan weakened as investors assessed efforts by the nation's central bank to loosen monetary policy. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 5 points, Dow futures down 65, NASDAQ futures down 24, the DAX in Germany's down 0.5%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1% on 77 cents to $73.58 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.7%, down $8 to $11.97.60 an ounce. The euro at $1.1483 and the yen 113.33. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo cited a fundamental disagreement with China's foreign minister during a testy exchange in Beijing that highlighted rising tensions. China accused the U.S. today of escalating trade disputes and meddling in the country's domestic affairs. A U.N. report out today warns that time is running out to limit the rise in global temperatures due to climate change. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change reports says that the preventing an exchange of a single degree of heat could be the difference between life and death in the next 10 decades. In baseball, the Yankees host the Red Sox as their American League Division Series is tied at a game apiece. In the NFL, the Giants, oh my, lost to the Panthers, 33-31. The Jets won. The Ravens, Raiders, and 49ers all lost. The Redskins play the Saints tonight. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. And we are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is now 5:49 on Wall Street. And it's time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform offering informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. And we're joined live now by Jennifer Ryan, the Bloomberg Opinion editor in our London bureau. Jen, good morning to you. Let's start out with Julian Lee's piece. Just in time for Election Day, a subject near and dear to my heart, gasoline at $3 a gallon, headed in the wrong direction for American consumers. Bad timing or what?
Yeah, it does look like it. So Julian Lee is looking at the national average climbing at a time of year when it should actually be falling, if you look at the five-year average. And he says it's a case of two events. So President Trump has decided to reinstate sanctions on Iran. That's set to take about 3 million barrels a day of crude oil off the market. That's coming just as OPEC and its friend had succeeded in draining excess global inventories. So there you have the reason why prices are rising at a time when they should be falling.
But production by OPEC and its friends is soared, though. Won't that help?
I mean, it is true that there's been a big increase from OPEC and Russia, 1.3 million barrels a day since April. But you've got it. Julian says you've got to offset that against a host of international factors, such as, for instance, a drop in Iranian condensate exports, which means that the actual net increase is more around 350 barrels a day.
What's the outlook for more supply to come into the market?
Well, it looks tricky because Iran's exports have a lot further to fall. They're down 1.1 million barrels since April, and Trump's aim seems to be to cut it all the way to zero by November 4th. On top of that, however much spare capacity Saudi Arabia says it has, it's likely to take weeks, if not months, to mobilize it in full. So there could be little relief from high oil prices just in time from the midterm elections.
Our next piece, Leonid Bersidsky writes that Banksy's art stunt is economic genius. What stunt has Banksy pulled this time?
Well, there was a sale this weekend of a stencil of a girl letting go of a heart-shaped red balloon. And then once the hammer fell, the shredder embedded in the frame was turned on remotely, and it shredded half the picture. So you can see the remainder of the artwork sort of hanging below the frame, cut into narrow strips. And the whole thing was captured on video.
What's the unique opportunity this gives us?
It's really interesting because now we have the auction price before the shedding, the value of the object, namely $1.4 million. And now there'll be a higher post-shredding price, surely. And so what we can do is distinguish between the market value of the object and the market value of the story behind the object.
So putting our economist hat on, what can we learn from all of this?
I mean, Bersidsky says Banksy could pretty much write a dissertation on the monetary value of art. He's the only artist in history whose work is documented at such a wide range of market prices. At one point, having negative value, I mean, his early work was considered to be graffiti and painted over, and that does indeed imply a negative value. So once all the stencils have been chipped away from walls and sold on, his legacy may well be this insight that we've had into the monetary value of art.
Okay. And before we leave, everyone, the Nobel Prize in Economics is out. Nordhaus and Romer win the Nobel Prize in Economics. The sticky just out on the Bloomberg. You can read more on this and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion and Bloomberg.com/opinion and on the Bloomberg terminal by typing OPIN. Go. Karen.
And it's 5:52 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. It's brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute? Resolve faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
Federal contractors now have an incentive to hire and retain disabled workers. The Labor Department has proposed giving them 2 years of freedom from audits. Mike the Situation Sorrentino, known for his role on the MTV reality show Jersey Shore, and his brother are headed to prison after evading nearly $9 million in tax. And the chief accountant for the SEC, Wes Brigger, says companies that use social media to share key performance metrics need to make sure those communications go through disclosure control procedures. He spoke to the Association of Audit Committee members.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, in other legal news, let's look at what awaits Brett Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court when he takes the bench tomorrow. For more on that, Kevin Cirilli and Bob Moon speak with the Bloomberg Law Supreme Court reporter Kimberly Robinson.
But this issue of temperament has really been injected into this conversation, no? Well, that's right. And, you know, it's something that I think if Judge Kavanaugh does become Justice Kavanaugh, will likely stay with him when he's on the court, and that the court itself might have to deal with.
And in terms of what's next, there are some cases in the immediate pressing term for the Supreme Court to take up on. There are, of course, some economic ones. Tell us about what economic decisions are in the short term, but also about some of these women's health issues on abortion, for example, that really could keep the Democratic base attention, could keep them, you know, and these protesters from not going anywhere.
Well, we do have a lot of really important business decisions that don't always get, you know, the big headlines, but that are very consequential. Judge Kavanaugh actually missed one that was about arbitration and employees that will be important for a number of workers. But there's another one down the line about the Fair Credit Reporting Act that could really have a big impact on minority homeowners that the court will hear later on in its term. So far, from the other issues that you asked about, we don't have any reproductive rights cases on the docket so far. But the Supreme Court is continuing to add cases to its list, and there certainly are those cases waiting there for the justices to pick up.
And you mentioned that this could be an issue further down the line in the Supreme Court. Could there be cases in which Judge Kavanaugh, Justice Kavanaugh, would sort of recuse himself?
Well, the rules for recusal for Supreme Court justices are really, I guess, squishy is probably a good word. They're not really bound by any particular rules. And so it's really up to Judge Kavanaugh's own preference whether or not he'll recuse, although certainly I imagine people will ask him to recuse based on some of the statements that he made in his hearing.
And that's Bloomberg Law Supreme Court reporter Kimberly Robinson speaking with Kevin Cirilli and Bob Moon. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. John.
All right, thanks, Karen. 5:56 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg ETF report, brought to you by Oppenheimer Funds. Challenge the status quo with ETFs that adapt monthly to an ever-changing world. Find out more at oppenheimerfunds.com/ETFs. Here's Bloomberg's Patrice Sikora.
The largest exchange-traded fund focused on Chinese internet stocks plunged last week. The Crane Share CSI China Internet Fund fell more than 4% on Thursday alone, following renewed trade concerns and a Bloomberg exclusive on Chinese hackers infiltrating nearly 30 U.S. companies. The fund has a hefty 73% exposure to Chinese internet stocks, which plunged after that report, plus a harsh speech from Vice President Mike Pence criticizing Chinese economic, commercial, and diplomatic policies.
Chinese security agencies have masterminded the wholesale theft of American technology, including cutting-edge military blueprints.
The Crane Share CSI China Internet Fund's largest holding, Tencent, fell more than 5% last week. Its next largest holdings, Alibaba and Baidu, also tumbled. The fund, with ticker KWEB, is down more than 20% on the year. And that's the Bloomberg ETF report. I'm Patrice Sikora.
All right, Patrice, thank you. And futures are lower. S&P futures down 6 points this morning. Dow futures down 78. NASDAQ futures down 28. And NYMEX crude oil's down 1.1% or 80 cents at $73.53 a barrel. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.